I'm Waylon Moore. I live in Tampa, Florida. I graduated from Baylor, and I'm in grief over the loss both at Oklahoma State and what happened to them. When you can score 45 points and lose a game, it's another world, I tell you. I went to Baylor, then went to Southwestern Seminary, and they were answering questions I wasn't asking. And so it was very difficult for me to get a lot from some of the classes. But later on, I was asking questions that they had answered if I'd been listening. And then I went to work as a volunteer. I traveled in Europe with members of the Billy Graham team in the 50s. London, Berlin, Amsterdam, New York, Dallas, Fort Worth. And I met Dawson Trotman, and then after working a year or two with Doss, I was a single guy. He sent me to Boston. So I did student work at Boston, at MIT and Harvard University. Then he sent University of Texas. He asked me to work with Crusade when they were starting. So I lived with Bill Bright, and I worked with Campus Crusade that fall at University of Texas. I love student work. I think it's a core work for changing the world. And so what you're involved in, or your parents are involved in, or you're linked up with in some way, I believe, is a strategic, world-changing ministry. It seems small, but it is not small at all. Because thousands of the missionaries that serve all over the world, and people who are pastors and laymen who love Jesus Christ and give 20 and 30 and 40% of their income to the cause of Christ, were reached, most of them, at college. And most of the world leaders... most of the world leaders went to college somewhere or university somewhere. And this is our opportunity to reach them for Christ while they're there, when they're open and so forth. I have my daughter, Martha, is a missionary for 15 years in Germany and Spain. She speaks both languages fluently. And I'm very proud and thankful for Martha. Get to know her if you can. She's looking for guys that know some German and could come and help plant churches over there, in Germany. My son is my pastor, Bruce. And I had another son, who died at 28, of a brain hemorrhage. And my wife of 50 years went to be with the Lord 4 years ago this month. In fact, this week. And, So the Lord has been very, very gracious to me and very loving to me and long-suffering to me. I've had a number of people who've invested in my life. One at Baylor, I named my son for him, named Bruce Miller. And he lives outside of Washington, D.C. And so Bruce, without knowing it, we never heard of the word disciple, but he discipled me. He mentored me at Baylor University and changed my whole life. And I've never been the same, but I'm thankful for the privilege of being here with you all. So we want to talk about the one habit that will absolutely change your whole life and ministry. For example, I pastored a church for 13 years in Tampa. It grew to be 3,000 members. I preached or taught 5 different sessions a week for 13 years. What do you have to share? 5 different messages a week for 13 years. Well, if you've got 500 to 1,000 verses of Scripture, it's a lot easier. Because then the Holy Spirit takes these verses of Scripture like lights and they shine on the text that you're teaching. And you're getting things out in words. A verse of Scripture is a string of pearls. Each word is wonderful and needs to be looked at and played with and researched to get the meaning of it. It's wonderful. The words of Scripture. And so we'll start off. Memory glues a Scripture verse to the heart so that the Holy Spirit can use it anywhere you go. Why memorize? First, for spiritual crisis and trauma in your life. Everyone's going to have a problem, a crisis problem. There will be a death of a loved one. There will be an accident. There will be a disease. There will be a crisis. And you need verses of Scripture at times of crisis. They call me on the phone and said, come home as soon as you can. Your son is dying. I caught the airplane, rushed home. Had a staff member met me at the airport and took me to the hospital. And my son had bleeding in the brain. And my wife was a pediatrician. And Clemmy said, there's no hope. The blood has gotten out and poisoned everything. And so he's going to die. And so we went into the room, and I had no warning. We had no warning. He wasn't sick, and then he was handicapped. So we had a handicapped son who was 6'4" and 270 pounds, the size of a pro linebacker, and he was mentally 5. And if he got mad in about 4 seconds, he could knock you down. And he knocked a lot of people down. And he would hit on his brother and his sister, and he would knock a door down. And we had a constant pressure for 28 years as our sons lived at home with us. And we had a lot of verses that we claimed. But when he was dying, the Lord brought to my mind Isaiah 49:15-16. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee, saith the Lord. Behold, I've graven thee on the palms of my hands. Thy walls are ever before me. God has you, your name, on his hands. And when he's adjusting a star or a planet or a galaxy, he sees you. He knows you. You're right there. Your form is ever before him. Boy, that's a great verse to know and to be able to share. Another one, Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, children of Israel, God was afflicted. Everything that Israel went through, God went through. Jesus lives in you if you've been born again. Everything, everywhere you go, Jesus goes. You go to the shower, Jesus goes to the shower. You go to a Vespers, Jesus goes to the Vespers. You go skiing, Jesus goes skiing. You go out with someone, Jesus is on the date. And you need to know that. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The greatest Christmas verse is Galatians 4:4-6. It's not in Luke. In the fullness of time, God sent forth a son born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem those from the curse of the law. And God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You're a walking Bethlehem. God sent the Spirit of his Son to Bethlehem. He sent his little body. God became a little baby. And God, the living Christ, alive, is in your body now. And there are multiple verses on this. Galatians 1:26, the mystery which has been hidden, which is now revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Imagine, you have been invaded by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ himself literally lives in you. And once that grabs you, you can know it here and it never grabs you here. I was reading a booklet when it finally hit me, and I'd been a Christian since I was 10. It finally hit me when I was 21. Jesus Christ literally, personally lived in my body. He was willing. He came to earth to enter, to make it available for he could enter me where I could be in heaven and in heavenly places with him. Therefore, when I pray from the throne of God. I don't pray from here looking up. I pray from the throne looking down, because I'm with him and he's with me. Wherever he is, he's at the throne, but because he's God, he's also in each one of us. And therefore, if you're praying from the viewpoint of the throne of God, rather than looking up trying to find God somewhere, it's a different vantage point. And it's fascinating. In times of suffering. And I remember Job 1:21, the Lord gives and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Times of crisis. We got to have it. And it says that Christ suffered being tempted, and he's able to comfort them who are tempted. Hebrews 2:18, of course, 4:15 and 16 and so forth, of many verses. Another reason to memorize scripture, Jesus did. Now, you can walk on water, if you could. Or you can raise the dead, if you could. But I suggest you start with something more simple that Jesus did, that everyone can do in this, that's listening to me. You can memorize scripture. A two-year-old can memorize scripture. They might not understand all of it, but they can sure memorize it. Memory is discipline. On the hand illustration, each one of these gets progressively harder. Now, scripture memory is not hard from the mental viewpoint. It's hard from the discipline viewpoint and the review viewpoint. But if you could only, if every finger, three fingers were cut off from your body, yeah, there you go, pop him down. He hit him. He hit a wasp with the end of his pencil. That's pretty good shark shooting over there. Anyway, look at the hand illustration. If you had three fingers removed and you could choose which fingers to leave, which fingers would you leave? Of course. You can unbutton your pants with this one, or button a shirt or a dress or something with these. Without these two, you're in trouble, brother, with the other fingers. Well, the two strongest things are scripture memory, coupled it with meditation, eating the word, musing, pondering, considering, remember. By the way, I have a large website. Let me give you that thing. It's old. I paid $1,500 for a new one 2 years ago, and they haven't come up with it. They required I pay in advance. A mistake, but I had to do it. So anyway, my website, I have 40 articles, all free. You can read, download, use any way you want. They're different. They're chapters for some books I'm writing. mentoring-disciples.org. Mentoring-disciples.org. In that series of 40 different articles, one of the articles is instant mentoring. Some of you would say, well, you know, I've never had anyone who's really given me a lot of time. They've never really worked with me hard. They've never really worked with me where I could just spend a lot of time with them. And I want to give you an instant mentor. You can have with you 24 hours a day. Read Christian biography. The biography of great men and women. Grace Alliard, Amy Carmichael, Elizabeth Elliot, Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, Borden of Yale, Moody Spurgeon. There is on that website called Instant Mentoring, I list my 10 favorite biographies that I've read. And then I mention two different couples who have written biographies for high school students. I want a short biography. I don't want a 300-page biography. Now, I read many of those because I picked this guy. I want to really chew up this guy's life or this lady's life and really learn from them. And so learning from men and women who've walked with God is a part of that's being mentored. And no one's perfect. Everyone has weaknesses. Everyone has difficulties. But you will find there, for example, these average things cost maybe $10 or $12, but if you buy a number of them, you can get them for $6.50. A 90-page book for $6.50 that gives you the guts, the core of a person's life and ministry. It's fabulous. For example, you want to study Grace Alliard, if you order 10, you can get the books down to maybe $5 a piece if you order the 10 of the same one. Like you want a Bible study group and you want to study a man's life. That would be one easy, simple thing that you could do where you read a couple of chapters a week and get together and discuss it. What verses could they have used? What did they goof on? What did they what helped them to move forward. Do I have this verse in my life? Using Christian biography, kind of coupled with Scripture. And so I can certainly recommend it. There are certain biographies that are gone, but you can find them in used bookstores. Like one that I love is Moody Without Sankey. Sankey was Moody's songwriter, and he wrote the 90 and 9, and so forth, and many other marvelous songs. But Moody is a fabulous story, because here's a guy without any education who mispronounced, and his grammar was terrible, and yet he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. All you need is the same spirit Moody had, and God can use you to change the world. And you have that spirit, but does that spirit have you? That's the difference. While I'm sitting, I want to give you the last thing I would say now. The older you get, the more you need to learn to praise God. The hardest thing, what are the five kinds of prayer? What would you say? You have anything pop up that some of you that aren't staff members or something want to share?
Thanks. Huh? Prayer of thankfulness.
A what?
A prayer of thankfulness.
Thanksgiving, okay. Confession. I use that as a thumb. If you're not working that thumb, you're out of it. Petition, the pointing finger, the long finger, intercession, the ring finger I have as praise, and the little finger is thanksgiving. These are the five basic kinds of prayer. The most difficult, probably, is praising God. Thanksgiving is thanking Him for things. Praising is identifying with Him alone. You're exalting and glorying Him as a person. And that's more difficult to do. So I've memorized a number of verses or passages to get me started. I want to quote two or three for you. This, by the way, is on YouTube. YouTube, my name, Waylon Moore, Psalm 116, and put the word pressure down or something, and you'll find this on YouTube. Some MDs I work with. I work with doctors on Wednesday morning. I work with businessmen on Friday morning at 6 o'clock, by the way. 6:30, I have another Bible study group on Tuesday morning with guys from my church, and then I do individual one-on-one with a couple of people a week. That's kind of what I'm doing now when I'm a little older. The verse I quoted when at the funeral of my wife was Psalm 116. That's on YouTube. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, I said in my haste. All men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefit toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. Pardon me. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. I also, to wake up and begin to zoom with God, I quote First Chronicles 29, 11, 12. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give unto all. And then he goes on to say in general terms, who are we and what are we that we should offer to you so willingly? For of thine own have we given thee. Everything you give to God, he owns it anyway. And then I like 1 Chronicles 16, 10 through 12. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continuously. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Remember his works, his wonders, and his words, the judgments of his mouth. Three things we need to remember about the Lord. His works, his wonders, and his word, the judgments of his mouth. And these help me to praise God. To be thankful is one thing. To praise him is another thing. And through scripture memory, you can memorize passages and verses that you use to praise the Lord. And that's one way that blessed my life. Now, why memorize scripture? Jesus did. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the people that walked with Christ recorded in Matthew, there are 128 quotations from the Old Testament. In Mark, there's 63 quotations Jesus gave from the Old Testament. In Luke, there are 96 quotations from the Old Testament. And in John, there are 43, a total of 230 verses that they wrote down that Jesus spoke and recorded from his memory of the Old Testament. I believe he had the whole Old Testament memorized, or at least the first five books. Almost at the time when Jesus was born, the Jewish synagogues made a commitment that every male had to learn to read and write. And Jesus was a part of that change that took place about 3 or 4 or so B.C. So Jesus was absolutely literate. And he knew hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses. And these he brought out to reveal his deity and his call by God and his unity with the Lord. So to be like Jesus, memorize and meditate on verses. Third, for victory over sin, for changes in attitude and actions. Psalm 17:4, by the word of thy lips, I have been kept from the paths of the destroyer. Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Man, this is the ice sliding time of the year in Colorado and in many of your states. And so it's easy to slip and slide. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide spiritually. We don't want to be sliding spiritually from one disaster to another disaster. We want the sure mark where we put the cleats of our steps. By the way, how do you give yourself to the Lord each day? May I suggest one way that I do it? In Romans 14, 15, but put ye on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I want to make sure I got that I didn't do it right. It's not Romans 14, 15. It's put ye on the Lord Jesus. It's Romans 13, 14, pardon me. Romans 13, 14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh. How do you put on the Lord Jesus? You sit on the edge of your bed and say, Lord, first I'm giving my feet to you. May I walk where you want me to walk today. I'm giving my hands to you. May I touch what you want me to touch today. Lord, I give you my eyes. May I see people as you see people, with their needs, with an opportunity to help them, with an opportunity to listen to them. Give me ears to hear the hurt, the cries, the needs, the joys in people. I give you my heart. It belongs to you. The organs of my body I give to you. They don't belong to me. And I put on you. I put you on, Lord Jesus, Romans 13, 14. Or you can go to Ephesians 6 and take the armor, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the feet shod with the preparation of peace, the sword of the Spirit, so forth. You can take those and claim them for the Lord. I discovered if I didn't spend time with the Lord, I pastored a large church that became impossible. I was on a treadmill. It was so difficult. I could never meet all the needs. And you can be sure that the director of your work is human. It's humanly impossible for him to meet every one of your needs. But he wants you to let the Lord do that through his word. Why witness? Why memorize scripture? New witnessing power. Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And Peter and John fearlessly witnessed, even when they were beaten and they were warned, do not tell anyone about Jesus. And they said, that which we've seen and heard, we just got to declare. We've got to tell. We saw someone die on a cross and he's alive today and we saw him. And he's living. And we saw him not once, we saw him many times. And we saw when he left heaven and he's coming back again. And man, they gave their life for that. Almost all the apostles, as far as we know, traditionally died. Or 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3:15. Could I ask you, has anyone ever asked you about the hope that was in you? Or do you gripe, groan, yap, bleed, and whine at school like everyone else? The teacher's bad. The grades are bad. This is bad. That is bad. If you're a whiner, no one will ask you ever about any hope in you. They don't hear it. One of the key marks of a believer that God is using in witnessing is a positive attitude of victory despite all the junk, mess, crud that's around us. First Peter 15. Set aside, sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Has anyone heard any hope in you for a new year? This doesn't mean we don't empathize and listen to people who have broken hearts and who have needs. And we don't just come with the scripture, well, this scripture will change your life and this is what you needed. We need to empathize with people and listen to them. Many times they're not ready for that scripture. They want someone who just cares and will listen. And later on, you can say, you know, I've had a lot of crisis. I've had cancer. I've been cancer-free for 5 years. My wife had both breasts removed at Christmas. You talk about a Christmas present. One at a time, 2 years apart. Then another cancer surgery. And she lived 30 years after that, praise God. She died in a hospital full of infection. She had multiple infections and died. A small hospital. A brand new hospital. All of the things were there to make it work well, but God called her home. She was the most wonderful person I've ever known that was a human being. We were totally different. I liked to stay up late. She liked to go to bed early. I loved football, and she loved basketball, being from Kentucky, but didn't give a hoot about football. Eventually, when Coach Dungy, a Christian and a witnessing Christian, became the coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks, then she stood up and she would come with me and watch me hold my hand or listen, watch football with me. She did carry things to read along, but she at least sat with me. She sat with me. She had never done that before. And by the way, I hope you guys and gals have read the book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, because it's very important that you understand the people that you may date. You give them presents according to what's your love language. Many times they have a different love language. For example, my wife's love language was time with me. But my love language is presents. That didn't mean something expensive, but just something to show you care. So I would bring something back. I've been in 105 countries teaching discipleship, or most of those countries, to missionaries or national pastors over the past 40 years or so. And I'd bring a present from that country. And she would thank me for it. Sometimes it was very expensive. It was jewelry. It was something that was rare or very lovely and nice. And she would graciously thank me. But she would let the kids stay home. And she would get in the car and drive to the airport to pick me up and take the long way around driving the car and ask me question after question after question after question. She says, "You get home, the kids will be all over you, and I won't get any time with you for 3 days." So that's what my wife, and then she'd say, "Let's just drive somewhere long and let's eat." So she had places she liked to eat that were at least an hour away. So that's 2 hours going and coming. And we didn't have cell phones for a lot of that time. And so she was able to really respond that way. Okay, for witnessing power. And then for guidance. Oh man, do we need guidance to know the will of God for our lives. That's so difficult. Scripture memory enables you to have guidance. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 103 through 105. Psalm 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Man, I need light. And those who spoke to us this morning shared about verses of Scripture that God brought into their life and their mind. God should be giving you verses of Scripture. And if you continue to read saying, "God, show me a word from you," it might take you a day, a week, or a month. But you read saying, "I want you to hit me with a verse, Lord. Show me something I need for my life to show direction." The Lord can do that. I like to say this. You have one verse of Scripture memorized, you've got a tiny pen light. You've got 10 verses of Scripture memorized, you got a flashlight. You got 100 verses of Scripture memorized, that's like an automobile light hitting into the darkness. You got 1,000 verses memorized, that's a stadium bank of light where you're watching the Super Bowl or the Florida State playing, I forget the name of the team. I know the name of the team. Anyway, Auburn, yeah, I know the name. Yeah, I hate to even use the name. I don't want any. Come Florida State. Anyway, but the thing is the lights. It's not what who's playing. You want light on your life. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. That's me, brother. I need light. And the Lord wants to give me that light. That guidance. Now, let's spend a moment on how to memorize. This goes to 11 what? 20? It's an hour, isn't it?
Yeah.
10:40 to 11:40. Huh?
11:20.
Okay, I got enough time here. So let me give you some tips for memorizing. If you dare, get with someone that's memorizing and ask them to check you on a verse. You know what we used to do? Anytime, anywhere, someone could ask for the verse you memorized that day or that week. And we generally had them on cards. Some use calling cards for it. It's a larger card, and I have a lot of the packets, and the cards are smaller than that. The original nav cards are smaller than that. Easier to carry or hold on to. Something of that size, something like that. But anyway, they'll ask you for a verse. And what we did, I even carried my memory pack. I wrapped it in plastic and carried it into the shower. Because they grabbed the shower, opened the shower, and said, "Show me, give me your verse for the day." And if you couldn't give them the verse, you had to give them 50 cents. And, of course, then I would do it. He gets out of bed. He didn't even have his pants on. Says, "What's the verse for the day?" You should have been up earlier. And so we check each other. You need a buddy. You need a friend. You need someone where both of you are memorizing. And you can check each other out. First, you'll see the notes there. The A is attitude. Dawson Trotman used to say, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ except memorize, who strengthens me." And I've had these older people say, "Well, Brother Moore, I cannot memorize. I wish I could memorize, but I can't." I said, "Show me your keys." "From my purse?" I said, "That's where they are." "Yes, okay." I held up the key. "What is this key?" "Well, it's the key to the front door." "What is this key?" "It's the key to the car." "What is this key?" "It's the key to my granddaughter's apartment." "What's this key?" You memorize the keys. You go to a supermarket. If you go every day, you know exactly. The canned goods are over here, and the fruit's over here, and the bread's over here. You memorize. We memorize everyday things all the time. So why not scripture memory? Everyone memorizes. So the attitude, you can memorize. Of course, the key is reviewing it. Reviewing it and meditating on it. Next, read context. A verse of scripture is a hamburger patty. Around it is the pickles, radish, onions, mustard, mayonnaise, ketchup, lettuce, and tomatoes. That's the context. The verses around the hamburger patty. The verses that you can, if you're on a diet, you just take the hamburger patty and you hope it's cooked well and you eat that and you don't eat the context. But the context seasons the verse. The verses around it help to interpret the verse. So you never memorize a verse by itself. You memorize a verse in context with two or three verses before it and two or three verses after it, and it will change the whole meaning. So many, many cults have a single verse memorized. But you check it in its context, and it doesn't mean that at all. So remember, a verse in context is what you want to memorize. Therefore, listen, here's another thing. If you memorize one verse of Scripture, you're not learning one verse of Scripture. You're learning one verse of Scripture and an idea of six or eight other verses of Scripture around it. So you're learning chunks. Is it better to memorize chapters or verses? Verses. It's better for you to know 50 verses from 20 books than 50 verses from one chapter, long chapter in Luke or something like that. See? And it will give you a potpourri. It'll give you another number of things. By the way, in case you have an interest, I'm not on my website. I have my favorite 100 verses. They're already there. You can download them to your cell phone and bring them up. I forget if they have them in NIV or they have them in King James, maybe in both. But under Scripture Memory, at the top of my website, you'll find Scripture Memory. Click Scripture Memory. And I have, I really have about 110 or 15 verses, but sometimes I memorize two verses as one verse. They're together. Like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." He will direct your paths. Okay. We have to have an attitude, then read the verse in its context. Next, read the verse thoroughly several times aloud. Give it a topic, a reference, and glue the reference to the first word of the verse. That's D. D would be emphasize the first word aloud, along with a reference. What you do, you memorize the verse, and here's the way most people memorize. John 16:24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, and that your joy may be full. No, you memorize it, and you glue the reference to the first word of the verse. John 16:24, hitherto have ye asked, or whatever translation you're using. Glue the reference to the first word. If you can get the first word started, you can generally finish the verse. Otherwise, the reference is floating around somewhere. The reference is the street and house number. The direction where you can find it, where you can teach someone how to find it like that and use it. So I emphasize the first word aloud, and I glue it to the reference. Review daily at least 100 days when you memorize a verse. Review that verse at least 100 for 100 days. And then, of course, use it or lose it. The best way to keep a verse is to use the verse. Sometimes you can just say, give someone and say, would you check me on 5 verses or 4 verses? You know what I did with some unsaved people? I got out the gospel, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5, 8, 10, 9, and 10. Hebrews 9:27. I got out the bridge gospel verses. I put it in a little pack, and I handed it to a lost person. I'd say, I'll give you a dime for every time I miss a word in a verse. Would you check me? And I gave them the gospel. I always paid them 10, 20, 30 cents. And after a week or two, missing the verses, and them hearing the gospel, and my praying for them, some got saved. Have you ever tried that? Isn't that fun? And then next, meditate on each verse. Meditate on each verse. And on my website, you can click under Bible study. You can find the word meditation. And I have a meditation blank and the 5 things you do to meditate on a verse of Scripture. Let me close with a story. I have to tell you, when I went to seminary, I took a class on evangelism. The class had 2 sections. You had to memorize 300 verses in 3 months and pass a test on it. And then you had to know the content of the book written by the president of the seminary about With Christ After the Loss, an evangelism textbook. He was a great soul winner. L.R. Scarborough, the second president of the seminary. Well, I mastered the book, but I was busy and I had a bunch of things going on in my life and at home. My mother was sick and my father had passed away, and it was just, I was overwhelmed. So I memorized about 30 or 40 verses I hoped that they would pick. I took the test and flunked the course because I hated to memorize Scripture. I flunked evangelism at the seminary, the only F I ever made in my life in any graduate study I made because I wouldn't memorize the verses. That summer, I had a chance, there was a convention going on in Chicago, Southern Baptist Convention, and I felt led to go. I sold my record player so I'd have $100 where I could hitchhike up there and stay at the YMCA and at least have a little food for 3 or 4 days. And so I hitchhiked 1,000 miles to Chicago from Fort Worth, Texas. And I got up there, and, you know, I could maybe very few people do that today, but it's a little dangerous. But after the war, you know, in the wartime, it wasn't no problem that way. So anyway, I got to Chicago, and a friend said, have you been to the Pacific Garden Mission? I said, no. What was that? Well, that's where Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, was converted. Wouldn't you like to see? I said, yeah, I'd love to go. So we packed up. We found it was on 646 South State Street. So we went down there to the old Gospel Mission Lighthouse. It had been 70, 80 years with services every night, feeding homeless and helpless and dope-addicted people and winos, prostitutes, and various people. And we were there for the service. And I felt a strange magnetism of the Lord drawing me to this place. So the next day, I prayed and prayed. And I went to see the superintendent, Harry Salnier, and I said, is there a possibility that I could spend the rest of the summer here on your staff and learn witnessing and how you work with dope addicts and winos and prostitutes and people down here. And he said, well, let me pray about it. Come back tomorrow. And he said, we'll give you room and board. We'll give you a place, a bed to sleep on. And someone else might be in the room with you, depending on who's coming through the mission. And we'll give you three meals a day. It might be oatmeal, which we give the guys when we feed the people that stay at our mission overnight. But and you, can you trust the Lord for every, all your other needs? I said, yeah. He said, all right, then you're hired. As soon as your convention's over, come here. And then I was able to take some courses at Moody that summer as a part of it, which was wonderful. And so I began to work at Pacific Garden Mission. I met some great godly men, some with PhDs that were working, Dr. Grant working for the at the mission there. But the guy that interested me most was Dennis Snell. He was a World War II veteran, and he had jungle rot on his toe, so he walked with pain, tried to clear up this infection that he had gotten in the jungles of Indonesia or somewhere. And how come you know so much scripture? He says, oh, I don't know so much scripture, but I spend a couple hours a day in prayer and the word, and I memorize the scripture. I said, a couple of days? And you've never even been to seminary? And I thought, good night. I spent 30 minutes if I were lucky. This guy was spending up to 2 hours a day in the word. I said, and memorize scripture. I said, I hate to memorize. He says, I'm not fighting with you. I'm just saying scripture memory is a staggering tool. It's changed my whole life. And I said, well, I guess I need to memorize scripture. He said, well, you'll have to talk to the Lord about it. I'm not going to be your guilt trip. And if you believe God wants you to memorize, then you let me know and I'll show you how. So I prayed about it and I came down and told him the next day, okay, God wants me to memorize. So he gave me a little packet of the beginning with Christ, the B rations, the Dawson Trotman's little navigator packet, to meet the first four attacks of Satan. Well, listen, if a new Christian only knows those four verses, they're fabulous. I mean, assurance of salvation, Satan says you can't be sure, 1 John 5:11-12. Pardon me, assurance of victory, 1 Corinthians 10:13. You can have victory over sin. You don't have to fall every day for the same thing all the time. God can give you victory, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And if you lose out and you fall, you can get forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. And then God wants to give you answers to prayer, John 16:24. Those were the first four verses. They've since added one another, Proverbs 3:5-6, for guidance. But I learned those four verses, and when I did, then he started asking me questions about them. Well, I didn't know he was going to ask me questions. His first question was, what is eternal life? From 1 John 5:11-12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What is eternal life? Well, it's a promise. He said, good, it is a promise. But it's more than that. It's the promiser. Eternal life is Jesus Christ, who is life living in you. Better than the promise is the promiser. And you have the promiser living in you. He that hath the Son hath life. What kind of life? Eternal life. The only way you can die is for Jesus to die. And he's already died and risen again. You can never die. Your body will die. All our bodies will die. But we will never die. Instantaneously, we'll be in the presence of the Lord in heaven. Not even a black spot and we wait so many days or hours or years. No, no. Instantly. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I like that. No transition pain. No lost weekend. Wow. Good. So then he asked me questions about all the verses. And I realized I hadn't dug into those verses. I just memorized them. So, man, I began to dig and learn it. Man, I began to get some juicy things from the scripture. Wonderful. And then I began to memorize a couple of verses a week. Sometimes I memorized three or four. I had nothing else to do, working at the mission, handing out tracts and so forth. So I got to John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. I realized I'd hitchhiked 1,000 miles in my shoes, and I had holes in my shoes. The shoe leather had holes in it, And I put cardboard there, and it rained the next day, and the cardboard melted, and I had holes in my socks. I had holy shoes and holy socks, and I didn't have any money, and the Lord reminded me of John 16:24. Ask and you shall receive. I said, oh, I've never asked for a pair of shoe soles, Lord. But Lord, I'm asking you for a pair of shoe soles that I can put on my shoes. Then you could get you could go to a cobbler or shoe guy, and he would cut off the olds and he would put on a new pair of leather bottoms for you, and that way, and so you could wear the same old shoes with a brand new bottom. And many times in the Depression, or when you didn't have hardly any money, you had shoes that had been resoled maybe two times, or you had a new heel on them because you were running, hanging down on that heel. And so I said, thank you, Lord. It took me 3 days to believe God was worth. I found that I could get a pair of foam rubber shoe soles, at Sears for 15 cents. But I didn't have 15 cents. The next day, I was handing out tracts in front of the mission, which was my job, 2 hours before lunch, 2 hours after lunch. Stand to street. Would you have a tract, mister? Have a tract, mister? Here's something to help you, mister. And you never said, well, you don't want a tract, do you? No, you're enthusiastic and warm. Here's something wonderful for you, sir. And they'd take it, some would drop it, some would crumble it, and others would take it and say thank you. So handing out tracts was my job at that time. And so I told the guys at lunch, I'd prayed and prayed and prayed for it. I knew God was going to supply. And so at lunchtime, a guy that had been converted there stuck something in my pocket. I said, what are you doing in my backpack? He said, I want an investment in your big feet. These were size 12 foam rubber with a glue that you glue on the bottom of your shoes. Well, I said, well, thank you. I didn't tell anyone for anyone to give it to me. He says, I know you didn't, or I wouldn't have given it to you. But I wanted to surprise you. So that night I read the instructions, put on a layer of glue, let it dry, put on another layer of glue, pounded those shoe soles down, and I shined up my shoes the next morning. I walked down the stairs, John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. John 16:24. I was walking on the word. Walking on the word. I propped my feet up in the library. The assistant superintendent, Miss Upton, came by. He said, wait a minute. Those shoes you got on, they look awful. I said, no, I just shine them up. He says, they're lagging, dragging, sagging, and bagging. He said, only thing good about them are the shoe soles and shoelaces. I know what happened to you. He says, you've done a good job here. We don't pay you a thing. But go upstairs. I get a draft. I've already called up there for $10 and go down and buy you a new pair of shoes. On Skid Row, you can get a pair of leather shoes for $10. They're used. Someone's tried them on and the store bought them. But with your socks, clean socks, there'd be no problem. So I went up and got the draft and went down to the store they told me to go to. I paid $7.98 for the shoes, gave $2.02 tithe to the Lord. I asked the Lord for shoe soles. He gave me shoes. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20 is a biggie. The power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. That was the first verse I'd ever claimed that produced, bang, something for a specific need. And that started a run of verses for the next 60, 70 years. One verse of Scripture can change your life. I guess I'm the John 16:24 guy. That's the first verse I had claimed and got something tangible that I needed just through prayer without telling anyone but God. It was wonderful. It was small, but it started off a chain of events. A year later, I journeyed through Europe and I witnessed. I got a boat, went to Europe. I won my roommate to Christ on the boat, won other people to Christ on the boat. Went to Europe. I spent a month in Europe on $100. If you can imagine how you're going to live in Europe on $100. Well, I did it for a whole month, ministering over there, and God blessed, and He met my need along the way. Guy picked me up, and he said, I'm Vince Casale. I work with Pocket Testament League. How far are you going? I said, well, wherever you're going, I'm going. Huh? He said, well, I work with converted Catholic priests. I said, me too. Show me how to do it. And he took me for 3 days. I didn't have to pay for anything. He bought my food, everything. He said, I love the I love talking with you, man. You love the Lord, and I love the Lord. So I even when he got a motel, he got a double bedroom, a room with two beds where I could sleep with in the room, and we went all the way to Rome together. It was a marvelous experience I had. God just opened the doors all along. Will you start memorizing Scripture as a habit? Two verses a week and get someone to check you on it. Let's pray. Why memorize Scripture? Well, Lord, you did. And over hundreds of verses you quoted in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank you, precious Lord. You are the Word. And you reveal the Word by your Spirit. And you apply the Word to our lives. And you make us overcomers. And you bless us beyond measure. Oh, I praise you for the privilege of knowing Scripture. And for some of it becoming my life. I pray for each one here. Oh, Father, may they make the commitment to you. If they haven't begun, to begin. And to get someone to help them for checkup or encouragement together. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many of you would say, I am making that decision in my heart, or I've already made it. Would you raise your hand so I would know what God's leading you to do? Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Many, many of you. Yes. Thank you. Oh, Father, give them strength and encouragement. I'll write them an email. If I have their email address, I'll encourage them, Father. And I pray that you might tattoo their heart with the thrill and joy of living out the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And by the way, my latest book published by Lifeway, it's called Living God's Word. And it involves two chapters on the Word of God, two chapters on prayer, a chapter on witnessing, and a chapter on obedience, the old bridge, the old wheel illustration, the way I write. For example, in one chapter, there are verses that God wants to answer prayer, but God will not answer prayer till you ask Him. He wants to answer your prayer, but you don't ask. And I've got five verses of Scripture that show God doesn't answer prayer because you don't ask Him. That chapter alone is worth the book. Then I have a whole chapter on how to meditate on Scripture with George Mueller's testimony that when he began to meditate, his whole life changed. I've got his word-for-word testimony of meditation. And then on my website, which I've given you, mentoring-disciples.org, you can open that up, and I have a meditation sheet where you can fill it in with a verse, or you can just read how to meditate. And if I can help you any time until we leave on Monday morning, I'm available. Just say I was in a group, and I want to ask you a question or anything. Thank you for being here. It's a blessing to know and love you. Bye-bye.